Now, on last Sunday, we started a lesson on the new birth. Now, we have, we gave you a couple of handouts that we're going to be using. May not be going over all the information, but I definitely want you to have a reference point, okay? Now, our text scripture on last week came from 1 John chapter number 5. And inside of your bulletin, you see there is the objective of the new birth. The objective of the new birth is power to overcome. And that's 1 John chapter number 5, 1 through 4. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him is begat, loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we are the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, looking again at the objective, as we see, of the new birth, as we say there, it is the power to do what? Overcome. The new birth is the power to overcome. Now, because of Adam's disobedience, back in the garden, we all inherited that same nature or that same tendency to do exactly what Adam did. Adam disobeyed, so we have that same tendency or nature inside of us to disobey. If you look at Romans, someone go over to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Romans the 5th chapter and the 12th verse.
"By one man's
sin." See, that's the problem. When Adam ate of that fruit that Jesus told him not to eat of, Jesus gave Adam the instruction, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's in Genesis, I believe, chapter number 2, 17 or 2 and 15, somewhere around in there. He told him, "Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely do what? Die." You're going to surely die. And in chapter number 3, we see the woman and the man ate from that fruit. The scripture says the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover up their nakedness. And again, as a result of Adam and Eve eating that fruit, everyone, every human, black, white, rich, poor, educated, no education, every human is born in the state or the condition of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. The law said, "Do not eat of that fruit." And when they ate of that fruit, that is when man sinned. That is how sin entered into humanity. Now, as a result of that, everyone, according to Romans 5 and 12, I didn't forget it. Go back over to Romans 5 and 12. As a result of that, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man," that one man is Adam, "wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." And sin didn't come by itself. It brought its wage or its payment with it. It says that the wage of sin, in death by sin, or death as a result of sin. Therefore, death passed upon who? Now, see, this is where people get lost at. They get lost and they don't pay attention to this. They get stuck on what Jesus have done. Because they say, "Oh, Jesus died on the cross for sin." Yes, he did. Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross to pay sin's price. Yes, that is all true. But you have to deal with how you are born. Now, if Jesus' death removed sin from us, we would all be born without sin, right? If Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, and his death on the cross, him shedding that blood, removed sin, that's what people would have you to believe. That's what the devil would have you to be stuck on. If that were the case, every human would be born free from sin. If you were born after Jesus' death, you would be born free from sin. But that's not true. How do you know it's not true? Because people are still dying. There's death still in the land. And if the wage of sin is death, that means people are still being born in sin. Right? That's just logic. And you don't have to even go through and try to fix. No, that's logic. If people are born in sin and the wage of sin is death, that lets me know, just me knowing that Jesus died on the cross is not enough. Just me knowing that Jesus shed his blood to redeem me or to free me from sin is not enough. I have to do something. I have to associate myself with his death. In order for that death to benefit me, in order for that death to give me the power that the new birth is promising, I have to do something. That's the truth, saints. You got to do something. The new birth gives me power to overcome. And if I'm born already in sin, that means because I'm born naturally, that does not mean I've experienced a new birth. When I come into this world, I come into this world in the state or the condition of sin. That's scripture right there. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And death as a result of sin. Therefore, death passed upon who?
All men.
Everybody. Nobody's exempt from that. I don't care who you are, where you grew up, who you know, what your family's last name is, what you have acquired in this life, you still have the infection of sin in your soul. And until you get rid of that infection, that death is constantly hovering over you. Everything that go along with death is hovering over you. Death is working in your veins. Death is working all in your nostrils. Death is hovering all in your mind. And the devil would just love for you and I to stay in sin. Because he knows as long as we stay in it, we're going to die. We're going to face the judgment of death. Now, death is a separation from life. We come here already born dead. We are separated from life. And people say, well, I'm already alive physically. Yes. Jesus gave you physical life, but you are dead spiritually. You're separated from Jesus as a result of what Adam did. When Adam ate of that fruit, he separated himself from God Almighty. How do you know? Because he went and he hid himself. He didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. According to the scripture, he tried to hide himself, and Jesus called him out and said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I hid myself because I was naked. And Jesus said, who told you that you were naked? He said, did you eat of that fruit that I told you not to eat of? And instead of him saying, yes, Lord, I ate of it, he tried to pass the judgment to someone else. Said, the woman you gave me, she gave me of it. The woman tried to say, well, a serpent, he beguiled me. But that did not stop the judgment of sin. The wage of sin is death. Adam and Eve, when they ate of that fruit, they were separated from life. You and I, when we come into this world, we are separated from life. I don't care where you go, what you do, how much you visit it, you will never remove that fact away from you. You will never remove that barrier, that wedge that separates you from life. That thing that separates you from life is sin. Sin stands as a wedge between you and Jesus. It's a barrier. It's a wall. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I want to live. Well, you've got to get rid of the sin. Sin is keeping life away from you. That's the truth, saints. It's a desire of the creature to want life. Yeah, that creature wants life. That's why that baby cries when it comes out the mother's womb. Because it wants to live. That baby doesn't want to stay in a state of death. It wants to live. And you think that's why people, when they get shot, when they get stabbed, when they get sick, You see them start to grasp for life. You said they wanted death so bad they just stopped breathing. And you just stop breathing. Anybody that say I'm sick of living, just stop breathing. Hold your breath and just stop breathing. But something inside of you will keep forcing you to take that next breath. As hard as you try to hold on to your breath, your body is like it fights. It says, I don't want to die. I don't want death. I want to live. So therefore, it goes back to breathing again. Go, grasp for that life. It pulls for it. Well, that's a desire inside of you. It's an earnest desire inside of you to want to avoid death at every cost. Gunshots start shooting out. Folk don't run towards the bullets. They start to ducking. They start to hiding. You know, if you want to die, jump in front of the bullet. You say, if you want death, jump off of a bridge. Jump in front of a train. If that's what you want. If you want death, jump inside of the ocean. And don't come up for air. Because you will surely die. But there is something inside of you that wants to live. There's something inside of you that wants to avoid death at every cost. But sin, Scripture says sin, the wage of that, the wage of that state, the wage of that nature is death. That's the truth, saints. Sin wants you to be not just separated from life on this temporary thing we call earth, but it wants you to be separated from life for eternity. It wants you to be away from Jesus. Sin wants to keep you far away from Jesus possible. That's why we tell you, when you're trying to receive the Holy Ghost, when you're trying to experience the new birth, you got to have an appetite. You got to seek the Lord with everything inside of you. You can't be lazy. You can't put this off as though it's not important, because you got to understand something is working in you. Something is trying to prevent you from living. Well, Scott, what is trying to prevent me from living? Sin. Sin is in all of us, and it's trying to prevent us from living. Sin wants you to keep on dibbling and dabbling in that nature. Why? Because it knows as long as it stays in that nature, it keeps you separated from life. And you say, well, who in the world wants me to be separated from life? Nobody but the devil. Devil come to steal, kill, and destroy you. He doesn't want you to have life. He doesn't want you to have Jesus. He didn't want Adam to have life, and he don't want you to have life. If he was lying to Adam, he's lying to you. Why? Because he does not want you and I to have life. But something inside of us has to run. Something inside of us has to be hungry. Something inside of us has to be thirsty for life. Not thirsty and hungry for more sin, but thirsty and hungry for some life. And we have to identify that life is only in Jesus, right? True life is not in the tools of Satan. These tools and these devices that Satan has put in the land. Put them in the land to try to occupy our minds. Try to blind, according to the scripture, try to keep us blinded. Scripture said the God of this world have blinded the minds. Trying to keep our minds blinded. Blinded to what? To our reality. He doesn't want you to look at your reality. Your reality is you are born in sin. And if you don't get out of sin, you're going to die in sin. And if you die in sin, you will be eternally separated from life. That's what death is. We say death all the time is to be eternally separated from life, from Jesus Christ in hell's fire. Well, you're already separated from Jesus. And until you realize that fact, till you come to grasp with that reality, you say, oh, this kind of, but I'm alive, I'm moving. But you're separated from Jesus. You're in the state of death. And the devil wants you to stay there. Why? Because he knows when you stop breathing, there is no life after that death. There is no life after you stop breathing. You got to go over into eternity. And where your soul is, that's where it's going to spend eternity, right? That's the truth. Devil wants you to stay in sin. He set up all kind of tricks, all kind of devices, all kind of traps to just keep you in that nature. Oh yes, he do. He does it. He does it. He's got workers out there in the land. He's got workers. He's got demons going in the air, all to get the creature to just stay in that state of sin. And anything he can do to attract you to it, anything that he can do to draw you into it, he wants to trap you up so that he knows that when you just stop breathing, because he knows Jesus, he knows how Jesus operates. He knows when Jesus gets ready to judge, he is going to judge. When Jesus opened up his mouth, can't nothing stop Jesus from speaking. When he calls you by your name, there's no power on this earth that's going to stop you from hearing the voice of God. Huh? Scripture says when he calls, you are going to answer. You're going to answer and you're going to have to give an account for what you've done in this body. Huh? What did you do in this body? Yes, you may have education. Yes, you may have a job. Yes, you may have children. Yes, you may have been married. But where is your soul? If sin is still on you, you've got to pay sin's price. And the wage of sin is death, right? You don't want to stay in death. Scripture says hell and death is going to be cast into the lake of fire. You should be doing everything you can do to get out of death, the state of death, the condition of death. You got to realize that's a serious, serious state. If it's more serious than cancer, it's more serious than this COVID-19, it's more serious than heart disease. Why? Because man can develop cures for all of that. Jesus can heal you from all of those bodily illnesses. But what that devil does not want is for your soul to experience overcoming power over that nature of sin, right? He got us all fooled, thinking because we say we can get out of this, stop doing that, go move over here, that it automatically deals with that nature. Nah, man, that nature is still there. Sin is still in you. Huh? And you need the Lord to give you the power to overcome that nature. Huh? I mean, overcome all the bitterness, all of the hatred, all of the deceit, all of that lying, all of that hypocrisy. You need the Lord to help you to overcome all of that. The jealousy, huh? Come on, the gossiping spirit, the murmuring and the complaining and the disputing, being heady, high-minded, having that disobedient thought flowing in your mind. You need Jesus to help you to overcome that. Overcome that lust. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. That pride of life. Huh? That desire to say, I look good. I want to feel good about myself. Tell me how good I look. How nice I smell. Pride. You need the Holy Ghost to help you to overcome all that is in that world, right? Why? Because all that is in that world is death. Huh? All that is in that world is sin. And the wage of sin is death, right? That's the truth, saints. All of us come here with that nature. Scripture, I told you. Let's look at some of these scriptures here. Someone get me, so y'all got it on your papers there. Psalms 51:5. Psalms 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. You see that? Psalms 51:5. That should be on that big paper. Psalms 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. See? You see, you didn't have to try to be a sinner. You were born that way. Anything you need to try to do is get out of that nature. That's the only thing you need to put an effort towards. Don't try to be a slick sinner. Don't try to be a covert sinner. Don't try to be an educated sinner. You need to get out of that nature. You need to do everything you can do to get out of that nature. You need Jesus to deliver you from that nature of sin. Scripture says that you got sin because of how you were born. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, right? What does Psalm 58:3 say? The wicked, that's what Jesus is calling you. You're no longer just described as being a sinner, but now you are called the wicked. You are called the wicked because of sin. You're not called the wicked because Jesus don't like you. You're called the wicked because of sin. This is what Paul was trying to get across to us when he wrote in Romans chapter number 7. He said, I know that dwelleth in me, that is in my flesh, is a no good thing. What do you mean it's no good? It's wicked. Because I'm in sin, I'm born in the state or the condition of wickedness. Scripture says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking what? Now you know what come out of your life because you are a sinner, because you are the wicked. Nothing can come out of you but lies, right? You need the Lord to deliver you from that lying nature. I need Jesus to take that lie out of me. Huh? The tendency not to be truthful. And honest with myself. Oh yeah. You got to be honest with yourself. Devil don't want you to be honest with yourself. He wants you to think you can just get by. Because don't nobody see you doing it. If don't nobody see me doing it, then it must be okay. But you're forgetting the eyes of the Lord don't shut. His eyes are open on you 24/7. He knows everything you're doing. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows every behavior you engage in. And he's going to bring it all into judgment with him, right? Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
That lying tendency. You got to get that spirit of lie out of you. See, that's good. Why you need the new birth? Because I need to get that lie out of me. I need to get that lie, that tendency to be deceitful or to be dishonest out of me. Huh? You know you wrong? I'm wrong. Huh? You got say, Elder Scott, what should I be testifying about? Testify about you need the Lord to deliver you from that wrong. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. You know you. Say, Lord, I need you to deliver me from this wrong that I am doing. You can't say, I'm doing it because of this. I'm doing it because of that. No, you are doing it. Don't fall in the trap of Adam and Eve trying to pass the buck when the Lord is going to bring you into judgment. I don't care who you pass it to. The Lord is going to bring you into judgment. Whether John made you do it, Sally made you do it, Jesus is going to judge you just like he judges John and Sally, right?
That's
the truth, saints. Got to get that lying spirit out of you. Only way you can get it out is through the new birth. New birth is the only power to help you to do what? Overcome. Elder Scott say, you got a lot to overcome. Yeah, saints, we got a lot to overcome. When you look at yourself, you realize you got a lot to overcome. And if you don't overcome this stuff is going to keep you away from Jesus. That's why the scriptures say you're going to scarcely be saved. Why? Because it's going to take all of the Holy Ghost working in you till Jesus comes to help you to overcome, right? Overcome what? This no good nature. This wicked. Huh? Wicked. Oh yeah, that's what the Lord called you. He called you wicked. He said, you got the lie flowing in you. Huh? Oh yeah. You got that lie in you. If you don't know any other language to speak, you know how to be a good liar. Huh? Lord said that was the first language you learned. Huh? You thought you learned mom and daddy first. And my baby said, mama. My baby said, dad. No. First language they learned was how to be a liar. Huh? Come on, it's in you. It's in you. The tendency to lie is in you. And you need to seek Jesus to take away that lying tongue. Lord, take away that lying spirit out of me so that I can be honest with you. Why David said he desires truth. Huh? He don't desire no liar. A liar can't tarry in his sight. The Lord says, I desire truth. Truth from where? Not from your mouth, but from that inward man, right? He desires truth from the inward part. Huh? Oh yeah, you need the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you think you can get by? You want? You need the Holy Ghost. You need the new birth to help you to overcome that lying spirit inside of you. Huh? The tendency to be deceitful, to present yourself as something that you are not. Huh? The tendency to see others but not see yourself. That's a lying spirit. The tendency to call other folks
folk out, but don't call yourself out. That's a lying spirit, and you need the Lord to deliver you from that lying spirit, right? Help me to overcome. Help me to overcome. You're not going to go back with Jesus with that lying spirit. Say, Elder Scudder, come on, work on it. When it even comes down to your tithe, the Lord knows what you're bringing in. He gave it to you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness there. The Lord gave you every penny you got. And the minute you try to hide it, the minute you try to conceal it, you're lying. Not to me, but to Jesus, the one that gave it to you, right? And you think you're going to go back with Jesus? You think a holy God is going to come inside of you when you're still entertaining a lying spirit? Call it out. Call it out. Lord, I need you to help me to overcome this lying spirit, right? The spirit to be deceitful and dishonest. Say, I'm still cussing.
Come on.
My mouth is still foul. I still got an itchy ear for ungodly stuff. I still let my eyes wander on things that are lustful. That's not Jesus. It's a lying spirit inside of you. And you need a new birth to help you to overcome that lying spirit, right? Hateful. Walk around, you say, I hate white people. All of them are no good. All of them are devils. All of them are lying. You are the problem. You got that lying spirit inside of you. And the Holy Ghost is the only one that will help you to overcome that nature, right? Is that the truth? Amen. You need the Holy Ghost to help you to overcome that spirit. That spirit will take you to the pit. Take you to the pit with liquor bottles, cigarettes, drugs. That spirit will take you to the pit. And you need the Holy Ghost to help you to do what? Overcome. Help me to be honest with myself. Why? Because that's the only way I can effectively repent. How can you change when you're dishonest with yourself? In order for you to repent, you must acknowledge you're wrong, right? I ain't right, I'm wrong. And the only one that can help me to overcome that wrong is Jesus. That's the truth, saints. It's the truth. I'm the wicked. And as a result of me being the wicked, Scripture said the wicked are like the troubled sea. That's why you can't put no stability on no wicked person. You can't expect that wicked person to be happy all the time. They happy and they sad. They up and they down. They with you and then they're against you. Why? Because they're the wicked. That's all they are like. Scripture said they are like the troubled sea whose waters cannot. They ain't got no power to rest. They have no overcoming power. Jesus is what helps you be stable. Jesus is what regulates your mind. Jesus keeps balance in your life, right? But the wicked are like the troubled sea. Folk get surprised. They say, hold up, but I was just talking to them and they was all right. Now they act like they out of control. Well, you're forgetting who they are. They keep telling you. They keep showing you. They keep testifying. I have a problem. What is your problem? I am the wicked, right? I am the wicked. And the scripture says the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters what? Cannot. They want it. They want it, but it what? It cannot. It's under the control of the elements. That's why I tell you, keep Jesus in your home. Don't you let no devils come into your house. Don't let them play no devilish music. That's why you parents, you got to watch what your children watch. You got to watch what they're giggling at. Watch what they're laughing about. He said, what are you looking at? Oh, nothing. It's between me. This is mine. Nah, nothing is yours. As long as you're up under these four walls, the Lord charged me. He told me to be a good steward over the stuff that I own, over the stuff that I'm required to manage. Now, when you want to do your devilment, you go out there in that great big world and you make sure you understand you are subject to the elements. Whatever's
you say, "Ah, nah, not nah, I didn't hear. We're not going to do that. We're not going to participate in that. Huh? We're not going to say that. We're not going to do that. Huh? We're not going to laugh about that. Why? Because all it's doing is trying to kill you. Y'all understand that? See, that devil is very slick. He's not playing. He says, scripture said he appears, huh, as an angel of light. He appears as though it's all right to do it. But what do you think he's doing? He's setting you up for failure. He wants you to be defeated. Huh? If you go down to the core of that spirit, huh, you go down to the core of that conversation, you realize it is demonic influence. It is nothing but a demon. It is nothing but a pure devil trying to snatch my thoughts, trying to bring my mind in captivity to the law of sin and death, right? That's it, saints. Well, you need Jesus to help you to see that stuff and say, "Oh, no, no, no. We can't do that. We cannot listen to that. We cannot talk that way." Huh? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, you gotta do it, saints. You can't put it off and say it's unimportant. You got to do it. Lord told you to bind it upon their necks. Huh? Right upon the tables of their heart. Even when they don't want to learn it, you teach it to them anyway. Huh? Why? Because you're trying to train them up in the way they should go. And when they let that devil get inside of them, you beat them. Say, "Oh, that's because I want to talk to them. I don't beat my children." You're going against scripture. Scripture said the only thing sometimes that hard head listens to is strict discipline. Sometimes you need to beat them just like Jesus beat you. He don't talk to you, so he beats you. He gives you a good whipping. Why? To bring your behaviors under subjection to him, right? He beats you to the point you start crying. Huh? And you need to beat them to the point they cry. They understand the seriousness of this thing called life, right? Life ain't nothing to play around with. That devil will get you out there and cut you off. Go ask that 11-year-old boy. Huh? He's dead. He can't come back no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wouldn't it have been better if his mother and father raised him up in holiness?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He may have had a chance to have received the Holy Ghost at 10.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then when the death angel came for him at 11, at least it could have been a celebration of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
But right now, we don't know. All I know, he was doing what all other demons are doing. Riding around on illegal bikes.
Huh?
That let me know he wasn't with Jesus. Because Jesus would have kept you off of that. That let me know something was in him that wasn't like Jesus. Why? Because he was riding around on something the law told you not to do. And the wage of sin is death. Sin is transgression of the law, right? Huh? And when he died, the evidence was right there. Huh? He wasn't riding around on something legal. He was riding around on something illegal. And the bullet caught him. Elder Scudder, oh, that's crump. But the bullet caught him. I'm trying to help you to be serious about your salvation. The devil is not playing games. And you don't want yours to be a victim to Satan, right? That's right. You don't want yours to be. I don't want mine to be no victim to Satan. That's why I stop him in his tracks. Every time I see the enemy trying to work on him, I say, "It's not like the Lord. Huh? Don't you do that. It's not like Jesus. You got to leave that stuff alone, because look at the end product. Where are you going with this? What's going to be the end result of this thing? I know it may feel good. I know it may make you feel good. But you need to separate your flesh from your spirit. Is this going to help you spiritually? Yes, it will benefit you fleshly, but the flesh is like the grass. It withers away. It's not long lasting, right? It withers away. Only time you get it down in your mind, I got to do the will of Jesus. I got to be focused on doing the will of Jesus. It is his will that you be saved. How does everybody understand that? It is the will of Jesus that you be saved. And do what? Come into the knowledge. Lord don't want you to stay in darkness. He wants you to come into the knowledge of truth, right? Who is truth? Jesus said, "I am the truth. I him the truth.
Yes,
Lord wants you to gain the knowledge of him.
Right.
Take his yoke.
Jesus.
And do what? Learn of him, right?
Yes.
Brother Hyman was telling me that a fella having a struggle, trying to know who Jesus is. And you think that that's not the devil?
That's
why they say, and Brother Hyman is giving an earnest plea. He says, saints, I need you to pray. Now, we can't sit dormant on that. We can't take that as though it's insignificant. Brother Hyman is working with somebody, and that devil has got a hold of that person's mind. Why? Because it does not want to let him see who Jesus is. Even the devils know who Jesus are. The devils know Jesus is God, right? And the devils don't want his mind to be let free.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That's why some of you got children that the devil got hold of their mind.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because they don't want to know nothing about Jesus.
Right.
And you need to call it out.
Uh-huh.
Say, oh, no. Now it's the devil.
It
Jesus, I need you to make Satan release his hold. That devil is trying to indoctrinate them and teaching them something that's false. Huh? Come on, it's false. It's not Jesus. It's led by a spirit that is anti-Jesus. Huh? It's anti-Christ. Huh? You don't want your babies to go along with anti-Christ, do you?
So
you need to pray.
Jesus.
Now, what am I going to pray for? Pray for them.
Jesus.
You ain't got enough sense to pray for yourself. Pray for them.
Jesus,
make Satan release his hold.
Yes.
Release his hold from their mind.
Yes.
I need their mind free.
Right.
Free what? Not to sin. Not free to get a better education.
Right.
Not free to get out of the hood.
Right.
Free so that they can know who you are.
Right.
In the pardoning of their sin.
Right.
You want people to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sin.
Yes.
Meaning him as a redeemer.
Yeah.
When you go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, he pardons your sin.
Right.
He says, your sin I will remember no more.
Right.
He pardons your sin, right?
Yeah.
Now you can't let the devil fool you to come up out the water and go back to doing it again.
Right.
Say, no. I done went down in that water. I have been bought with a price. I am no longer my own. I can't go around talking about what Stephen want to do. Stephen feeling. No, I am no longer my own. I belong to Jesus. Huh? Come on. You want life, don't you? You say, I belong to Jesus. Jesus is life, right? That's the truth. Got to ask the Lord. Sincerely. Jesus, help me to overcome that wicked nature.
Yes.
Call it out for what it is.
Yes.
Wickedness is trying to keep me in an unstable state.
Yes.
Wickedness. It's not people. It's not the stuff I'm going through. It's not because I'm sick. It's not because I have a mental problem. No. It's wickedness. Huh? Jesus did not say mental disease is like the troubled sea.
Right.
There are a whole lot of saved saints that got mental disease.
Right.
But the Lord just took that old mental stuff and he calmed it.
Yeah.
It ain't saying it's not there.
Right.
It's still, you go on and get outside of Jesus.
Right.
And you're going to see what's in you is going to come out of you.
Right.
Huh? You thought you were cuckoo.
Right.
You thought you needed medicine. You leave Jesus if you want to. He's the only one keeping you in soundness of mind, right? Huh? But the Lord did not say mental disease was like the troubled sea. Now, there are a lot of people that go to school and study how to figure out mental disease. And once they get their PhDs and all their MAs and all that, they realize, I can't cure you. I can't fix you. I can only help you come to grasp with your reality. What is your reality? There's no peace. There's no peace. Saith my God to the wicked, right? I don't care how much he won it. I don't care how much he tried to pay for it. There is no peace. Can y'all say that? No peace. There is no peace. Saith my God to who? Now you gotta have enough gumption to say, I don't want to be wicked.
wicked.
Jesus.
Lord, if ain't no peace to the wicked, I don't want to be wicked. That's the answer to it, right? That's the answer. If there's no peace, saith my God to the wicked, the answer is, I don't want to be wicked. Not, I need peace. Don't say that. Don't say that, because the devil's going to show you something and try to make you think that that's peace. But it's only a temporary fix. It's not reality. What do you need to say? I don't want to be wicked. The Lord deliver me from this wicked state and let him do it. When the Lord deliver you from wickedness, you don't go buy more wickedness.
Right.
You leave it alone.
Right.
When the devil starts tipping on your mind, no, the Lord delivered me from wickedness and told me, don't go in it no more. That I don't want to smoke crack no more. He got to stay out the crack house.
Right.
He got to stay off the corners.
Right.
You got to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be shivering. Well, you better shiver calling on Jesus. I'm going to get the sweats. You better sweat on your knees calling on Jesus until you get the mind not to do it no more, right? But you're only fooling yourself if you keep going in the crack house saying, I don't want to be in here. Well, what you here for? I know I shouldn't be doing it. Well, stop doing it. Just like you started it. Stop it. Fella say, I'm sick of being unemployed. Go get you a job.
Right.
Well, I don't want to. That's your problem right there. You're not tired of being unemployed.
Right.
Because if you're tired of unemployed, you'll take whatever work is available.
Yes, right.
Come on. Amen. Because you're tired of being unemployed. I'm trying to get you to be tired of being in sin. That's it. I just want you to be sick and tired of being in sin. If you get sick and tired of it, you'll stop.
Right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
It won't be so hard.
Because
you're just not sick and tired of it.
Right.
And we tell you all the time, when you reach the bottom of your rope, see, you still itching. When you still got that mind to be grabbing, you're not tired of it. You got to be tired of sin. I mean, tired of the life. Tired of the nature. You got to get sick and tired of what it's doing to you. Come on, saints. You should be moving forward, right? But you're still stuck in the past. Stuck where you was at before. And you got to say, I don't want to be this way no more, right? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You got to get sick of it. That wicked man has got to forsake his ways. Is that what the scripture say? Come on, Isaiah. Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. Really quick. Need the Lord to deliver you from that sinful nature. It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a rich thing. It's not a poor thing. It's not an education thing. It's a sin. And you need the Lord to deliver you from sin. Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. What is Isaiah 55? Seek ye who? Not education. Don't seek a college to go to. It's telling you what to do. Now, if you say, Elder Scudder, I don't want to die in my sin, this is what you need to do. You need to seek the Lord while he what? In other words, you got to get it fixed in your mind. I don't want to lose Jesus. When the scripture saying, while he may be found, that's urgent. That ain't haphazardly. That's really serious. That's you grabbing at it. Why? Because you know it may be a moment where he ain't going to be there. And I don't want to reach that moment when I'm reaching out for Jesus and he's not there, right? Seek the Lord while he may be found. That's how the devil try to make you think that Jesus is not God. You say, why does the devil keep my mind blinded to that fact or that reality? Why? Because he knows you will never call Jesus to save you if you think there's a God above Jesus. He is the only wise God. He's got all the power in his hand, right? Ain't no other God besides Jesus. Can't nobody save me but Jesus. Can't nobody deliver me but Jesus. Can't nobody heal tries to blind you to that, right? He is trying to affect your seeking ability. He's trying to rob you. He's trying to prevent you from being all you can be. Is that what the army said? Come on in here and be all you can be. The devil don't want you to come on into the church. He don't want you to come on over in the holiness. He don't want you to come up under the blood of Jesus. Why? Because he knows you're going to be all that Jesus made you to be. Your life is going to give him the glory. Now, when you go down in the water in the name of Jesus, you come up walking. In your life now, give Jesus the glory. That's why he tell you to come up walking in the newness of life. He tell you to go down on your knees and tarry until you are endued with power. That give Jesus the glory. It don't give you no glory. It give Jesus the glory. You be down on your knees calling Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That give Jesus the glory, don't it? That devil don't want that to happen in your life. If he can just keep you focused on you.
Yeah.
Huh? You get down in there, well, ooh, the water too cold. What about my hand? They're going to laugh at me. Nah, you missing the big picture.
Yeah.
This is not about you. Yeah. Say, get on your knees. What, when I get on my knees, I might be sweating. Spit may be coming out my mouth.
Yeah.
You got to get out of you.
Yeah.
This is not about you. You got to be willing to give the Lord the glory. You say, Lord, I want my body to glorify you. Somebody say, ask God, you say, what is it going to take for me to receive the Holy Ghost? Get that kind of mind frame. Say, Lord, I want my body to glorify you. I don't want my body to glorify me no more. I just want to give you the glory, Jesus. I want to glorify you with my hands.
Yes.
I want to glorify you with my feet.
Oh,
I want to glorify you with my mind.
Yes.
I want you to get the glory out of me, Jesus.
Yes.
The devil don't want you to do that.
Jesus.
Therefore, he makes you focus on everything.
Yes.
But what you need to be focused on.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he do.
Yes.
My nose is itching. My eyes is itching.
Oh,
you. So remember, it's you.
Yes.
It's all about you. I'm sleepy.
Yes.
I got a headache. All about you.
Right.
You need to get out of yourself.
Yes.
And let the Lord be glorified, right?
Yes.
Is that the truth?
Yes. Yes.
So that's why the writer told you to seek ye the Lord.
Yes.
While he may be found.
Yes.
Call who?
Jesus.
In other words, don't worry about who else is calling Jesus.
Right.
You get it in your mind. I need Jesus.
Yes.
You call Jesus for yourself.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Open up your mouth. And call him by his name.
Right.
For who? For you.
Right.
In other words, get in a seeking mode for who? For you.
Yes.
It don't say for family.
No.
It don't say for children.
Yes.
It says seek ye. Yes. Meaning, and that's that old English when it say ye.
Yes.
But ye means you.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
Me seek Jesus.
Yes.
While Jesus can be found.
Yes.
Me call on Jesus.
Yes.
Call him well. While he's what?
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you the Lord is real close.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. He is real close.
Yeah.
You ought to see the Lord real close, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's real close.
Yes, he
ain't got to come from nowhere.
No.
That's what makes him God.
Yeah.
Jesus is omnipresent.
Yeah.
He is in all places.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
Brother Robert, you know you want the Holy Ghost right now? Lord is right there.
Yeah.
Now you see your glasses? Take those glasses, shake them. The Lord is closer than those glasses.
Yeah.
Huh? Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
He's right there.
Right.
He ain't got to come from nowhere.
Yeah. Right.
Y'all understand that? All he tells you to do is seek him while he may be found.
Yeah.
Call upon Jesus while he's near.
Yeah.
Scripture said the Lord is nigh thee.
Yeah.
Even in your mouth.
Yeah.
Jesus is in your mouth, right?
Yes.
Open up your mouth, right? Call upon his name, right?
Yes.
Call upon his name.
Yes.
Call upon his name.
Yes.
Huh? Why would you let the devil hold you back?
Yes.
Call upon his name, right?
Yes.
There is no salvation in any other, right?
Yes.
There's no other name, right?
Yes.
Under heaven, don't want given among men. Whereby we what? We must. Call on his name. Huh? Put your trust in that name. In that name, the scripture says the Gentiles trust. Put your trust in that name. Lean and depend on that name. Put your faith in the name Jesus. Let the name realize, Jesus, you everything. You're not some things, you're everything. One writer said, you're the song that I sing. You're the air that I breathe. You're the water that quenches my thirst. You're my bread. You satisfy my belly. Is Jesus your everything like that? He's got to be your everything, right? He's all that I need. He's my friend. He's my closest companion. He's a mother. He's a father. He's a comforter. In other words, he's stand up and fight for me. I don't want nobody else plead my case. Jesus right there. Amen. When you can sit over there and they talk about you like a dog, Jesus right there to plead your case, right? Jesus always has somebody stand and say, leave him alone. Jesus does that. Jesus jump in that person's mind and speak up for you to where you don't even have to open up your mouth. Jesus knows the things you struggle with. He knows the things that try to bring shame on you. And he say, don't you worry about it. Don't forget, ain't nobody going to be closer to you than I am. I'm with you always. He's with you always, right? He is right there. We ain't got a temporary friend. We got a close friend. Close friend. Nobody else is going to be a friend like to you than Jesus. Jesus said, I got to be closer than your brother. I got to be closer than your sister. I got to be closer than your children. But you don't understand. Jesus said, I'm better than them all. Why? Because everybody else is only temporary. They're only going to be with you for a short time. But Jesus, I'll be with you forever. Don't let life try to prove it to you. Jesus will be with you forever. Jesus will condition your mind. That's how you know when the Lord is working on your mind. Because he lets you realize, I don't need these folks. If they with me, amen, but I really don't need them. All I need is Jesus. And if he's with me, amen, right? If he is with me, amen. He with you in the doctor's office? Oh, yes, he is. He's right there with you. Doctor had to go get a procedure where they had to cut off a little growth from off of me. I skin tag a whole lot. So that's what you see those little things on me, they're skin tags. But me and my dad, we skin tag a lot. So I had to get one cut off. And the doctor was saying, I was there telling him, I said, well, you know, he said, when it's done, he said, yeah, we're going to go down and test it to make sure. He said, but 9 times, it's not cancerous. I said, whoa, I see how you working, devil. You try to throw that C word out there in my head. Try to make me think about it. I said, oh, no, you will not. I said, we done been down this path before. And if the Lord delivered me the first time, he'll deliver me again. And that's why when the doctors came and sent the results back, he told me, see, I told you, and I didn't think anything of it, but here are the results. I said, amen, Jesus. See, the devil, he tried. How about I tell you, you all don't know everything everybody go through. Do y'all understand? I only tell you half of it. I don't tell you all of it. Why? Because you can't fix it. Only one that can fix it is Jesus. I know how to get on my knees and say, Jesus, my back is up against the wall, right? You're the only one that can fix this, Jesus. You're the only one that can heal it. You're the only one that can make me feel like everything is all right. I love my wife, but she couldn't do nothing about that. She ain't no surgeon. Love her dearly, but she's limited on what she's able to do. That's why I tell you, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the overcoming power of the new birth to help you to do what? Overcome. Say, Elder Scott, I want to overcome. Seek ye the Lord while the Lord may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Don't let him get away from you. Call Jesus. So you in the sinking mode, you need to be calling Jesus. You get in that van, sit down, call Jesus. You start walking out to your door, call Jesus. You go up your steps, call Jesus. Huh? Say, well, I got to go take out the dog for a walk. Call Jesus. While Coach Jesus walking, call him. Jesus. Huh? Call him. Jesus. All right, Coach, he may be looking up at you. And say, what you doing? I said, we calling Jesus. He may give you a little bark. He say, you say, yeah, call Jesus right along with me, Coach. Huh? You get to washing them dishes, call Jesus. Huh? Put your clothes in the washing machine, call Jesus. T-shirt by T-shirt. Sock by sock. Jesus, just let it be a melody. Let it be a rhythm in your mind. Right, as you walking up them steps, each step, Jesus. Somebody said, what are you calling Jesus? Because I'm in a sinking mode. I'm trying to do what Jesus told me to do. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call on him, right? The Lord told you to do that. Told you to call on him. Huh? While he's what? Near. And when, how you know when the Lord is near? Because you got a mind. That's how you know the Lord is real close to you. Because you got a mind to be saved. And you don't want to lose that mind. Go ask all them folk that was in here with us before. Say, Elder Scott, they ain't here no more because of you. They ain't here. I ain't bringing them in here. I ain't bringing them here and I ain't driving them out of here either. They not in here because they ain't got no mind. That lets you know just because you got it today don't mean you're going to have it tomorrow. You better treasure that thing, right? I thank you, Jesus, for the mind to be saved, right?
Yes.
I thank you, Jesus. I don't take that lightly. Huh? Why? Because I could be going through the motions. Huh? Not even realizing. That's what my sister's going to tell you. My new phrase is, you're not speaking your own truth. In other words, not being honest with yourself. You're going through the motions. You're putting on a show. Because you know what everybody want to see. You know what everybody want to hear. But the reality is the Lord said, I desire truth from the inward parts, right? I'm going to only let you act for a moment. And after a while, you don't find repentance, I'm going to cut you off. You don't want the Lord to see you like that and say, I'm done giving you space. Did what he told Jezebel? I done gave you space and time to repent. And you were none of my reproof received. Therefore, I'm going to cut you off. You don't want the Lord to cut you off? No. I love where I am.
Amen. Yes.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. See, you got to do your part. Stop putting on Jesus what's on you. You got to do your part. What do I have to do? I just got to forsake your ways. Look at your life. Do a checklist. And put on the list everything you're not doing. Well, just got to, I'm not fasting. I'm not praying. I'm not keeping my mind. Those are the things you're not doing. Now, put on the list the things that are wrong that you are doing. That's going, that ain't the kind of list I want, but that's the kind of list you need to look at. Because you need to see your truth. I can easily go through and examine Deke, you ain't doing this. Deke, you, but Deke should just say, you know we going to stand before the Lord by ourselves. So the only one that really need to see me is who? Me. Yeah. I need to see me for me. I need to create what? My own list. Now don't get it twisted. I'm your pastor. I will watch for your soul. But I want you to know I might miss something. Because I'm human. I might miss something. The word is not going to miss it. The word is going to find you out. But Elder Scott may not pull you in the office fast enough. Huh? Some things I may not pull you in to talk about.
Yeah.
But who need to be honest with your list?
Yeah. Yourself.
You need your list.
Right.
List of things you're not doing.
Right.
Things you should be doing that you're not doing. Elder Scott, I'm not fasting right. Put it on the list then.
Yes.
And the things that you know you should not be doing, that you are doing, put it on the list. But I am coming to church. No. Don't
that's
put that on the list.
Right.
If you come to church, don't put that on the list.
No.
You need to you need to put on the list of things that you're not supposed to be doing. I gave somebody that challenge one time before. I said, go and write down the things you're supposed to be you need to change. They come back bringing me some little piece of paper with one thing on it. I said, all right. Now go ask such and such and such what they say you need to change. And I know they ain't write down at all. They come back with another little piece of paper. Now the Jesus in me done already showed me the list is longer than one. The human in me already knew there were about 20 things you need to put on your list. Humans, I ain't talking spiritual. I'm just talking human, flesh, saying there's 20 things you need to fix. And here you come with me with what? One. Now can the Lord help you? Because you're not being truthful with yourself. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
How little simple activities we complicate.
Yeah.
Yes, it's deceitful. And you don't even realize that the lie has control of you.
Right.
And who is the lie? Satan.
Yep.
Scripture says he is the author of it.
Yep.
So if the lie got control of you, and Satan is the author of the lie,
yes,
ain't no Jesus in your mind. You can testify all day long, I thank Jesus for the mind. You a liar. Because ain't no Jesus in your mind.
Right.
The one that got control of your mind is the one you're trying to hide.
Yeah.
That's on the throne. The devil.
Yeah.
Antichrist. Satan himself.
Yeah.
Is sitting in the seat.
Yeah.
And he's calling the shots.
Yeah.
And you are the victim. Because
yeah,
you're living outside of your truth.
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Right.
Isn't that the truth says?
Right. Right.
So how in the world are you going to even do your part in that scripture? Y'all reading Isaiah 55?
Yeah.
6 and 7. How are you even going to do your part when the devil got control of your mind?
Right.
Say, Elder Scott, what is my part? It's right there in black and white.
Yeah.
It's telling you to do what? Let the wicked do what?
Right.
How can you do that if you're not honest with yourself?
Right.
You got to get it out of your mind.
Yep.
That these wrong things are okay.
Right.
That these wrong things are things you need to work on. That's a big trick for the devil too.
Right.
Well, I'm working on. No, you need to stop it.
That's it.
Get out of that working attitude. People that go to rehab work on it. Church is not a rehab.
It's not.
Church is a place to be delivered.
Right.
You see, understand the difference?
Yeah.
Rehab, we got to coach you.
Yeah.
It's a program. We're going to make mistakes. Church is deliverance.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You ain't walking when you come in. You need to be walking when you go out.
Yeah.
That's delivered, right?
That's right.
Man at the gate called Beautiful was delivered.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Lazarus was delivered.
Yes.
He wasn't in rehab. They didn't pull out a dead body and say, go put him in the hospital and we're going to pump him with medicines and herbs and spices. No, Jesus called Lazarus by his name, huh? And he jumped out how he was. That's delivery.
Yes.
You come to church to be what? Delivered.
Deliver.
I don't go to church to be rehabbed. I go to church to be what?
Delivered.
This ain't like, Sister Scudder, this ain't like when you was getting your ankle worked on.
No.
This ain't therapy.
No.
When you got to go every week and they try a little hard. No. Lord say, I deliver.
Yeah.
What it look like when you deliver? No surgery needed. Huh? He just go in and he heals. Huh? He did what he did for Ezekiel and them on them dry bones. He just bring them back together again, right? That's deliverance. Lord works immediately. This is not a what? This is not a rehab. This is not a 12-step program. Huh? Yeah, this is not no coaching session.
No, it's
This is not Elder Scudder. We're going to work. No, no, no. You need to seek Jesus until he does what? Delivers you. That's a lot of times folk think when I be counseling them that it's like rehab. Oh, I'm going to keep calling you back there every week so we can talk about this thing. Well, if I do that, it's really to help you see yourself.
Right.
It's help you to see your truth. Because
right.
I can't fix you. I don't have no magic little statement that's going to say, oh, this is what we need. Nah, that ain't it.
Right.
I don't have no little guidebook to say if they do X, Y. This ain't troubleshooting. And I work in the computers. We troubleshoot.
Right.
Say if this is not working, that is not working, then this, delete this and everything will start working. And everybody say, oh, wow, you fixed it. Nah, this is not troubleshooting.
Right.
This is Jesus knowing what your condition is
right.
and Jesus fixing that condition. Not Elder Scudder, but we go to who? The source. Jesus is the one that does it. Let the wicked do what? Forsake his ways. And the unrighteous man his what? Didn't I tell you that's why the devil don't want you to see who Jesus
yes,
is?
Because
he knows you can't do that scripture if you're struggling to see who Jesus is. You need to clearly ask the Lord to remove Satan's hold from upon my mind.
Yeah.
What is his effect on my mind? The scriptures tell you the God of this world have blinded your mind. Huh? Go on over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, I believe it is. 3 and 2 or 3 and 4, somewhere around in there. If our gospel be hid. Is that 2 Corinthians 3? I know it's on the left side of the King Scofield Bible in that second column. So I might not know where the 2 Corinthians. I don't know about those pew Bibles. I don't know where it's at in there. 2 Corinthians 3. 4 and 3. I knew it had a 3 in it and I knew it had a 4 in it. So 4 and 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost. Whom the what? Who is doing this to the folk? See, why when a person calls on the saints to pray, it's important?
Right.
We're praying that the devil will release his hold from that person's mind.
Right.
Why? Because that person's mind is what? Blinded.
Yeah.
Blinded to what? The truth.
Right.
Devil don't want them to see truth.
Right.
The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do what?
Believe not.
Why does he do it? Why? Not because he doesn't want you to be rich. Not because he doesn't want you to get an education. Not because he don't want you to move out of the hood. He doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Who is the what? He don't want you to see who Jesus is. That's all. He said, why does Elder Scudder, why all these religions in the earth? Because the devil don't want people to see who Jesus is. Why you got all these churches on every corner? This one say do this. This one say, because the devil don't want you to see who Jesus is. I ain't going to believe none of it. You're doing just what the devil wants.
Yeah.
I got I'm spiritual. I do it all on myself. I just have a conversational relationship with me and God. Oh, well, all right. Sound like the devil got control of your mind real good. He's working. At least I don't have to go far to see Satan because I'm looking right at him. looking at him and I'm listening to him. Because ain't nobody got, but the devil got control of your mind. Make you think you can do this thing all by yourself. You in your room. Don't ever go to a church. You, first of all, you outside of scripture already. When the Lord done told you not to neglect the assembling of yourselves together.
Right.
You already outside the scripture.
Yep.
You ain't even lining up with the early church.
Nope.
At least the early church went from house to house. Whose house are you going to?
Right.
Who's coming over to your house? Nobody. Well, you outside scripture.
Yeah.
Did y'all finish reading that? Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Yeah.
We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Christ Jesus is God, right? That's our preaching. That is our teaching. We determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ Jesus, the Lord, right? Jesus is God, right? Is that a Christ Jesus, the Lord, and what? All I am is your what? See, I can't even do this thing called preaching right if I don't have the Holy Ghost. Because Holy Ghost, preaching is a service. I'm ministering. I'm serving you. It is part of service for me to put a stool down when you need help getting up. Amen, Elder Scudder. It's part of service, me lending a helping hand to help you get up out your seat. No, don't let me pull you up. When you can't get up out that seat. That's part of service, right? That's part of service. Service is you doing something. Whatever you can find your hands to do, do it. To whom? Not to your glory, but that the Lord might get the glory, right? Is that, I didn't go outside the scriptures.
No.
It said, we are your servant, right? Uh-huh. Keep reading a little bit more.
It says, ourselves your servants to Jesus, thank for God who commanded.
What did Jesus do?
Commanded.
Y'all go back over to Genesis 1. The earth was without form, it was void. It was darkness was upon the face of the deep. That was your life. When you have no Jesus, you're dark. When you have no Jesus, you're void. This is what Bishop was used to getting up, trying to drill in our minds. There is a void inside of each and every one of us. An emptiness that sin keeps trying to get you to plug up. But the only one that can fix that void is Jesus. He's the only one that can speak to that void in our life. There goes scripture. It says he commanded the light to do what? Shine. See, you ain't in here by mistake, saints. The Lord called you out of darkness. Into his what? His marvelous light. He commanded the light to shine what?
Out of darkness.
That same power have done what? Now you got to get your heart right. Your heart is what? Deceitful. And it's got a desperation for what? Wickedness. But the Lord's word can speak against that. His word, if you let the word get into your heart, it'll command the light to shine. Huh? Out of all of the darkness that's in you. Huh? I ain't got to be a hustler. I ain't got to be a shyster or a slickster. I ain't got to try to maneuver my way to get the things I want. No. My life now got to glorify Jesus. Glorify him in the way I live, the way I give, the way I govern myself, the way I treat my fellow man, the way I think. It's all got to be to his glory, right? But that only can happen when the Lord speaks light over that darkness. You can't do it as long as you got a dark heart. As long as you got a dark heart, only thing you're going to do is just try to do what? Deceive.
Yep.
Only thing you're going to do is try to be what? Desperately wicked.
Yep.
You don't want that for yourself. Want better.
Right.
Amen. Want
Amen.
Better for yourself.
That's right.
Lord has positioned you to be better. Want better.
Right.
Only one that can do that though is you.
Right.
Can't nobody put that inside of you. Only one that can want that is you. I don't care how bad I want it for you. Only one that can want that for you is who. All right? Y'all put your pen there. We're gonna come back to this. As I said, I'm going to be working on this new birth for the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
We want to get a good understanding of this. So we know what it's going to take in order for us to overcome this nature.
Right.